This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to Fender Bender for another week. My name is Tim Nicholson, and I'm very happy to have your company today. Thank you for joining us. And of course, thanks to Joe and Mark for the Escape Pod, who will be back next week. And I'm trying to adjust my seat, and it's not working. There it is. Ooh, I'm up.
Oh, dear. How did the seat go?
I know. That British voice over there, the dulcet tones, are coming from none other than Dan Gardner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Benny Hill then.
Oh, wow.
How dare you? No, I don't want to be associated with that.
No. How are you?
I'm really very well indeed. Thank you.
Good.
A little bit tired.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, the other thing. The other reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
No, the other thing. And the other person, of course, we have in the studio is the always wonderful and amazing Byron Matthew Darkus.
G'day.
Wow.
That was my Peter Russell Clark.
Oh,
g'day.
Yeah.
Where's the chip?
He's amazing.
He's
have you seen his blooper reel?
I have. It's not for kids' ears, is it?
It is not, but it is one of the best things I've ever seen as well.
It is funny.
Now, boys, there's something big happening this weekend.
The Queer Film Festival.
Correct. Yes. Melbourne Queer Film Festival is on.
It is. That should be the number one priority of all your listeners, all our listeners.
And just get in the dark. Yeah. Get your queer on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Top queer.
I've been to a gay cinema before, but it was kind of different to this. No, I'm kidding. But no, that is also on. There is something else that's on, guys. I'm going to remind you, we are a motoring program. I'm just going to try and see if you know what's on.
Oh, God. Bone, have you got it?
Is it the Hillman Car Club meeting?
Yeah, that's right. The Morris Marina Owners Club meets every second. The first Saturday of the... It's not even that, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. No, it's the Grand Prix, for God's sake.
Of course.
The Formula One Grand Prix. It's in Melbourne every year at this time, and...
Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Now, Byron, I am detecting... Yeah. I'm detecting that you... I know you're a motoring journalist. You are, but you know more about cars than anyone I know.
That's right, bitch. So they flip that.
Now, but you don't care for the Formula Ones.
I couldn't care less about the Formula One, and I wonder if there's anyone out there who thinks the same. I'm sure there's one or two other.
There would have to be.
Yeah, I'm sure, but are they going to be listening to this show? I mean, yes, I know we've just made the point of that Byron is an absolute avid car enthusiast, and he still doesn't like the Formula One. I don't know. I would like to bet that most of the people listening are a fan of sorts.
I'm not either.
Oh God!
Da, 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 da. So I'm out. I feel like there's been a weight lifted off my shoulders. I'm out of the closet now.
So this is interesting then to hear that, you know. And all right, well, I will complete the trio of statements, and I'll say that while I wouldn't consider myself, you know, I am definitely a fan.
Yeah.
I certainly don't know much about it. I don't follow teams. I don't know who's most likely to win. I don't know, you know, who's driving for who this year. So yeah, I'm not in many ways not that much of a fan either.
Which is probably the majority of people out there.
I would say so. Yeah. Well, I mean, we would love to hear from you. If you don't care for it at all, let us know. 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Alternatively, if you're bang up for it, as I whack the microphone and around my face, if you are bang up for it, let us know. If you're really interested, we'd love to hear from you. I think it's what you were saying before about following teams. That's kind of what I don't understand, because with it, at least with, like, you know, V8 supercars or something, you've got Ford, Holden, all these other brands you can kind of follow and engage with. What the hell's the difference between these stupid looking cars?
Indeed.
Tim!
Indeed. And we promise that we will not, like, spend the next hour talking about it either. So,
no, absolutely not. No, there's literally nothing else on the agenda today, guys. No, we will be talking about it a little bit. And very shortly, we're going to cross to the lovely Mike Costello, who is at the Darn Grand Prix right now.
Oh, dear.
I mean, yay!
I don't know what he's doing there.
Oh, yes, he's
hanging out with, you know, celebs, I believe.
I know exactly what he's doing. He's being wooed and lubricated by
Mark
a
Webber?
Car company.
And the rest of them, like David Coulthard and all the other people?
Oh,
yeah,
maybe.
Oh, he's a lovely guy, so...
Well, yeah. Somebody needs to be lubricated, and I hope it is that new guy, the Australian guy, but we'll come back to that a little bit later.
Oh, God, I know exactly what you're talking about, you filthy young man.
Filthy boy! Now, boys, this week we're going to go off topic for a little minute away from the Formula Ones. We will come back to it very shortly, as I said. Some local news this week. Something very exciting has happened, and that is that McLaren has announced pricing for their new car, which is kind of their old car redone.
25% new, though.
Is that all it is?
It's only 25%. That's right.
Hang on, that's not bad. But it sounds like a quarter. If I changed the way my face looks by a quarter, you'd go, bloody hell, what happened to Dan?
That's impossible. It would not be an improvement, let me tell you.
Well, I wasn't saying for a minute it would be an improvement. That's very sweet of you. Thank you. Mm. But you know what I'm saying? Is that if a quarter difference could actually be quite a lot.
Well, Renee Zellweger had a quarter of her face redone recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not okay.
It's not okay. Well, but the VF Commodore, the sedan version, I think that the amount of change was in the vicinity of 80 to 90%.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking relatives here, I guess.
Yeah, and this is I think it's called the 650S, which is based on the 12C. It's got a bunch of other numbers
the
in there
MP4
as well. The
MP4-12C.
That's the one, the fax machine.
That's right. It sounds like an old, like a UK number plate or a fax machine, yes.
And look, this thing, the front of it, they've taken their P1, which is their incredible hybrid supercar, and they've kind of whacked that on the front but kept the back the same. So maybe that's the 25% is the front end.
It's very nice. I mean, and I think they've also upped the power and torque quotient.
By a little bit, but enough to be significant. This thing costs $441,500.
Bargain.
But
I think so.
But it will zip to 100 kilometres an hour from standstill in 2.8 seconds for the coupe. I think it's around 3 seconds or just under that for the spider version.
And if I might throw in another statistic to the bargaining, it actually uses 11 litres of fuel per 100 kilometres.
Yeah.
Which means in its class, it's only bettered by one supercar.
The Nissan Micra?
Supercar!
Oh, sorry. The Holden Camaro, that was a supercar.
What was it, actually?
Ah, here we go. Come on, testing the knowledge, boys.
Audi R8?
No, that's terrible, actually. The Audi R8's not brilliant. And even worse than that is the Gallardo, on which it's based.
Gallardo.
Stop correcting me. It's Gallardo.
It's Gallardo.
It's Gallardo.
It's Gallardo.
It's a gay radio station. Gallardo it is.
Porsche 911 Turbo, to put you out your misery.
Oh.
It does it in nine.
Yeah, correct. Nine. I saw that yesterday.
Nine.
That's very, very true.
That's right.
So that is available here. What is also available here, guys, I'm really excited about this. Mitsubishi have updated the 25-year-old Triton for its final year on sale. I'm thrilled.
Hang on, 25 years? No, it's not 25.
It's not true. Look, it was 2006,
I think. 2006, yeah.
But look, it's funny because it's coming out like very early next year. So why do car companies do this in the last year of sales? Is this just to kind of keep interest in it?
Oh, definitely. Well, they just... Definitely. I mean, who thinks Triton when they think Hilux or Ford Ranger or, well, I can't think of anything else. Oh, and this is the Vara. That's the other really decent one as well. But
Amarok. Yeah. But, I mean, the thing with the Triton, though, you can get a bit cheaper and they still sell like hotcakes.
They're going really well. Yeah. Well, I think that what they're worried about when it comes around to the time of year when you're refreshing a model and a new one's coming out, people see the new one on the horizon, its imminent arrival, and they go, oh, I'll just hold on. I'll hold on for the new one. And, of course, that drops sales off to zero.
Yeah.
So what they do is they bring out one last little special edition. There's 200, isn't there? Or 50 or something, Tim. I can't remember.
Yes.
It's a limited edition, so people go, oh, well, I could wait, or I could have this one that's only going to be $200. It's brown.
Yeah.
and so they just keep sales buoyant. That's all it is.
That's all they're doing. They're all doing.
Unfortunately, Mitsubishi, that's all they're doing, period, isn't it? They're not very exciting at the moment.
No, not so much.
Mm. Yeah, they do really need to badly refresh their lineup, don't they? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Lancer's been around forever, and there's not another one on the horizon because they've struck a deal with Renault-Nissan Alliance to build their C-segment car. That's only just started development. So what's development of a car? At least 2 years.
Or 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And the current Lancer, which was also released, I think, it was released in 2007, was designed by Peter Carty-Pain, or he had a hand in it.
Oh.
Once upon a time did the XD Falcon, and this Aussie guy, and was was responsible for many a Mercedes classics in the 90s and 2000s.
Wow. Amazing. I loved the design. When it first came out, I was a big fan of the Lancer. I thought it was terrific.
I reckon it's aged very well. Well, not so much
the hatch,
but the sedan.
The hatch looks like a Nissan Pintara super hatch.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie to you.
One of the few examples where the hatch is not as good looking as the sedan. That's a topic there, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That is a very good one.
Really, jot that down. I'll get secretary. Yeah. Where's that hot secretary?
Bevan.
Dale?
Bevan.
Oh, yeah, come in.
And Dale.
Bevan and Dale. Yeah.
Both of them.
Oh, they are fictitious program assistants.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah,
great. I like that.
They're super hot.
Can I want to put their pet?
Yeah, sure.
I would like to have Jeffrey.
With one F. Now, boys, some other news on the Australian front. More cherries are coming to Australia. And I'm not talking about the fruit.
We've gone from McLaren to Mitsubishi Tritons to cherries. You know, I don't like the other direction.
What's next?
This is going.
Where can you go
from
that?
Is anyone still listening to us? Jesus Christ.
Text in. Who loves cherries? Who loves popping cherries? Anyway, stop. But look, no, cherries, the Chinese car brand, they sell cars here, and not in Victoria, I believe, in a bunch of other states, and they don't sell many of them.
No.
Mainly because they're utter crap. But they're going to bring out some ones that look actually not that bad. There's a little SUV and there's a little kind of Corolla-sized sedan that's going to come out in maybe 2015.
Yeah,
so
it'd still be social death being seen in one of those.
Do you think?
Yeah. It's funny, actually.
In the past, it was actual death, but...
Yeah. yeah,
but now it's just social death.
Right.
I'm only kidding. It's
funny, though. It's true. It's honestly true. Okay, before I go on, I have to say the latest offerings from Proton are on the up. They are getting better. They're not quite there yet. They're not quite
an improvement.
But I did see a guy in a Proton the other day. And the reason I mention it is because, is it fair to lump them in with Cherry? I don't know. It's that kind of very low end.
Proton's a much better than Cherry.
Right, well, okay. What about the Gen 2? What do you reckon about that?
See, I like the Gen 2 because it has this Lotus tune and, well, developed engine that Pro engine.
And the
they actually steer really sharply.
Do they? Yeah, okay, well, perhaps it's unfair, but I saw a chap in one yesterday and I looked through his window as I pulled alongside. I thought, you had all that choice.
Yeah.
You had all that choice and you got one of those. But anyway, as I say, my disclaimer is I do actually quite like the direction that Proton are going in now.
Yeah, yeah. Look, in a few years' time, they might be amazing. But that's that. So Cherry is coming. Cherries are good. And that's pretty much it. Cherry lips by garbage. The end. That was my wordplay right there.
And Under the Cherry Moon good. By Prince.
Welcome.
Which one?
Under the Cherry Moon by Prince.
Oh, that's a great track.
Oh, it's a great album.
I'll dash out and see if it's in the library.
What about Cherry Pie by Warrant?
That shows that.
What about Roz Cherry Parade?
Okay, shut it down. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We've got lots more coming up, so stick around. It is Australia's most gay and lesbian... No, it's Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station.
And the most gay and lesbian radio show.
Station.
Station.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting it all wrong. Let's just move on.
That's very, very strange. Tim, Dan and Byron here with you. It is Fender Bender. It is all about motoring. And today, as we've mentioned, not that we're that excited about it, but it is Formula One weekend and we can't ignore it. We cannot ignore it. We are going to dive right in. In the front end and the back end of Formula One.
God.
Driver Daniel Ricciardo.
And who's lurking in the back end of Formula One there?
Someone creepy. Probably me. Just hanging out in the back sheds. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Yeah. Anyway, look, we have got a roving reporter live at the venue. Mike Costello, are you there? Can you hear me amongst all of the noise?
Well, see, there's not a whole lot of noise, Tim, because the F1 cars, controversially, are a fair bit quieter than they were last year. And it's kind of got everybody scratching their heads.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Well, you know, no one quite knew how these engines were going to sound. This year, it's a V6 turbo engine. It's got a whole bunch of modern electrified technology. And no one knew how they were going to sound. You heard whispers that maybe that signature amazing high-pitched, keening, you know, deafening F1 sound was going to go the way of the dodo. And apparently, at least for now, it has, because we just saw them all go past for their first qualifying run. This sound was pretty underwhelming. No earplugs required. And the V8 supercars were on afterwards were actually louder than the Grand Prix Cup. So,
the V8 supercars are louder?
Yeah, as are the Porsche Cup cars. So it's a little disappointing, to be honest with you. I mean, the cars look great and they probably go well, but the sound, the sensory overload isn't quite there like it has been in years past.
What a shame. So do you think it's going to lose some fans over this?
Be some what, sorry?
Lose some fans. Do you think Formula One will shed a few fans?
it's quite interesting. I'm with a Mazda for this trip, and I went to the Formula One breakfast this morning, and the president of Red Bull Racing, who are the defending world champions, actually said completely openly that even he thinks the cars sound crap.
Wow.
You've got power brokers like that kicking up a fuss. There's every chance that they'll probably have to do something to fix it, or they'll lose fans. Absolutely. Because part of the thing with F1 is that absolute sensory overload, and, you know, it might be lacking.
Well, you know, they get with a hybrid or electric car, you can put in some kind of mechanism that, you know, gives it a sound so you don't scare the horses. Or you do scare the horses, sorry, that's what you want to do. You know, maybe could they do some kind of artificial noise, or would that just be silly?
Possibly a bit silly.
Okay. Thanks for your honesty.
I thought that was the perfect moment to get Mike's Jetsons car sound effect there.
Well, hey, maybe if they all sounded like Jetsons cars, people would get back involved. Eh?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It's true. It's true. Now, you are there with Mazda. Now, are they, I believe they are running the celebrity race. Is that right?
Yes, they are. And I'm here with a bunch of other motoring journalists, and we're all doing a motoring journalist best, which is, you know, get paid to go and enjoy the company of car companies at luxurious events. So we're doing that. And yes, we're hanging out with Mazda at the their annual celebrity race, where they get celebrities to bump into each other in Mazda 3s. Last year.
Yeah, so, well, I hope they're, I'm assuming they're hoping for no kind of accidents. And is there anyone that you've been blown away by celebrity-wise?
Well, it's been an interesting lineup. I've actually got one of our good friends at Fendermint, Nathan Ponchard, with me now.
Oh. Hi. Hello, Ponch.
Of course, the road test editor of Wheels magazine. What do you make of the celebrity lineup this year, Ponch?
Too much clothing, actually, for the men. I saw one that looked suspiciously like a beard for one of the pretty blonde girls. Nathan Brown, Rob Mills, you boys rock. Remove everything now.
Yeah, Nathan Brown, I'd support that.
Although he's not a very good driver. He was sort of...
Who cares?
No, Rob was like third. No, Nathan Brown.
Oh, God, it's descending into an argument at the Formula One.
Is that like a man coming up the rear?
Oh, dear.
Jeepers creepers.
Now it's descending into something else.
It sounds like the booze has already started. Now, boys, who do you think is actually going to win this darn race tomorrow?
Mercedes Corby.
God, I can see we're getting a lot of sense from our roving reporters down there. As you say, Tim, there's clearly some kind of refreshment has begun.
I think so. No, now, I'm not talking about the celebrity race. I mean the actual Formula One event. Is that, who are we tipping?
I think Ponch is half right. It'll be something with a Mercedes engine in it. There's four teams that use Mercedes engines, and, of course, the factory team, Mercedes AMG Petronas, would have to be a favourite, considering of all the teams that benefit from that. They benefit the most, and they've got among the best drivers. In qualifying, they were lightning fast. Ours was Williams, and Force India was good too. So any car with a Mercedes engine would have to be at the forefront of any betting. My guess is probably Nico Rosberg or Lewis Hamilton.
But everyone wants Daniel Ricciardo to win because he's got a beautiful smile and he's Aussie.
Yeah, he does have a really nice smile,
and
actually. I quite like him.
He destroys Sebastian Vettel, you know?
Yeah.
He can get his own back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll go Aussie, 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 oi, 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 from right here in the Joy Studios, I would say. And not just because he's a little bit cute as well. Boys, thank you so much for your time. We won't keep you. I know you've got some celebrities to schmooze.
And I do apologise if the sound quality's been awful. We're on loudspeaker standing outside to get away from the noise of the car.
Outside the toilet.
That would be why.
That sounds good to us. Look, boys, just don't sexually harass any of the celebrities, okay?
I make no promises.
Excellent. Mike Costello, Nathan Ponchard, thank you for your time. We will see you soon.
Bye, boys. See ya.
Bye, Z's. There we go, live from the Grand Prix. Now, speaking of the Grand Prix, Dan Gardner, right here in the studio, not schmoozing with people. You are schmoozing with celebrities like Byron and myself,
of
course.
It's a place to be, in my opinion. Centre of the universe, really.
This is it. Now, you had a bit of a... you've spent a bit of time this week with Grand Prix people as well, doing some more technical kind of things, I believe.
I have, exactly. Now, I'm universally regarded as the geek of the Fender Bender team, which I'm completely... I'm quite happy to carry that flag. Mm-hmm. And, yes... So I've been doing a few tech things with the Formula One. Hmm. I was lucky enough to go to the official announcement, the official unveiling of Renault team F1 engine. Hmm. A little presentation they'd laid on to explain exactly how it works, what it's going to be doing, and why they believe. We just heard Mike talking about the Mercedes is the very strong engine. Hmm. And regarded as the one that will do the business. But Renault, of course, are going to say and are keen to make it known that their engine is the one that is the most competitive. They make the argument that it's more reliable. They've begun with stronger underpinnings. They've developed it with their Renault Sport team, the car developers in France. And so they're arguing that longevity is the way that this race is going to be won. So very interesting to talk to them. And then again, I was also at the Grand Prix breakfast that Mike was also at this morning, and Mike suggested that one of the Red Bull guys, a guy who knows exactly what he's talking about, suggested that that the engines were way too quiet.
Yeah.
I would say virtually every person who went up on stage and was interviewed made the same comment. It's not loud enough.
Yeah.
The reason for this, now I can say this confidently, having been and listened to a technical explanation of the engines, is because they are now turbocharged and much smaller capacity. They're 1.6 litre engines.
That's
tiny,
ridiculous.
Tiny little six cylinders. And when you put a turbo in the exhaust system, which is how a turbo inherently works, it has to sit in the exhaust system, you are in effect putting a silencing component in there. When that turbo is working, it's drawing energy out of the exhaust to put back into the engine. One of those energies is sound. Sound is a form of energy, as is, vibration and kinetic energy and heat energy. Mm. It's taking energy out of the air, which comes to your ears as sound. So I can't see how they're going to make the situation any better. It's not as if you can take some of the exhaust silencer off, because there isn't any on there as it is.
Yeah,
all you've got in the way is a turbo. So it's a difficult situation to resolve.
Yeah.
What I do say is a good thing is that this has come as a result of people complaining that all motorsport is the four-wheeled Satan. It's on the planet, it's using petrol, it makes noise, it's uses petrochemicals, it's just a wasteful thing to do, and everyone hates it. And so Formula One said, okay, we're going to introduce rules that make it more efficient. This year, I get very excited when I'm talking about
it. Yeah, I can see.
This year, the cars are using 40% less fuel than last year. 40% they are saving. It's a huge amount.
That's great.
And the way they're doing that is by smaller engines. They're using a lot of regenerative braking. They're using, this is a hybrid car, effectively. And that's what you get. If you complain about motorsport being wasteful and basically a plight and a virus on the planet, this is what you get. Quiet, boring things.
Well, wow. They still have to get them places, which takes a lot of planes, so
found out talking to the boys at Pirelli this morning at the breakfast that
they like rubber.
They
like rubber.
They are into rubber. They are very much into rubber. Actually, did you know the compound used in Formula One tyres is actually a plastic? It's not rubber at all. And the way they recycle those, they recycle the tyres. I said, "Oh, I'm really interested in how you recycle them." I was like, "How do you do it?" And they go, "We burn them."
Okay, well,
they do actually generate electricity when they're burning, but they do still burn.
Wow.
So there you go. On the surface, we have a very quiet, tame Formula One championship that actually, in many ways, is still environmentally damaging.
But it's also, I think, a lot of people around Albert Park will be pretty happy that it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah, and everywhere else around Melbourne as well.
Well, that brings me to my next question, Byron. With the Formula One, ending the Formula One conversations, what do you think Melbourne should spend its money on instead of
Where do I begin? Oh, God. Because apparently it runs at a loss every single year.
Yes, but it brings a lot of money into the state.
It does. The estimate that for the branding alone, the branding to put Melbourne on the map with all of this publicity is worth $37 million in itself.
But don't we lose like
50?
Yeah.
You can look at the extra profit that's paid into the local businesses, people coming in as tourists.
Yeah, spend it on public transport, I reckon. Yeah. That's what I think.
So you've got to give people, something for people to come here to do and use public transport. You can't just say, public transport's wicked now, because people go, why is the point in going to Melbourne? There's nothing to do.
Oh, we've got the tennis.
Oh, yeah. And we have things like the Melbourne Queer Film Festival and a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah, but you don't use a tram to go to that. You use a rickshaw.
I'm on my bike, but I...
You do.
Yes.
You bloody, lefty northern suburban.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Such a
hit.
That's me and proud of it.
Exactly. We have a terrific show on Joy 94.9 called Pinky Leftos. You should listen to it. Mm-hmm. It's excellent.
Oh, excellent.
This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We will be back very shortly. That's right. It is the weekend, and you are listening to Joy 94.9. In fact, you're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9 with Tim, Dan, and Byron.
Hello.
Here. We are just hanging out, talking cars, hanging out. Speaking of talking cars, guys.
Yes. Hello.
Guess what? That's a dumb way to ask.
Actually, yes, or are you
no?
Just,
let's not
just
do that. That's probably, I should probably just say it, shouldn't I? So, have you guys heard of the car company called Darts with a Z?
No.
That sounds like it's been written in youth.
You
speak.
You don't mean a Datsun?
No. No, Darts. D-A-R-T-Z. They are from Latvia, people.
They sound like they make a really nice, sensible little sort of, you know, like...
Like from, an eco-car, maybe.
Yeah, like something sensible. Right. It's probably really cheap. It probably runs on a funny little old, you know, two-cylinder engine or something.
Like, it's a Goggle-mobile Dart. Remember?
Well, not related.
Not related?
Not related.
What's going on then?
I don't know. Look, this is bonkers. They're from Latvia. They're a specialty mark, which means they're useless. They have built something called the Prombron, which is really easy to say. P-R-O-M-B-R-O-N. Let's all say it together.
Prombron.
Which just rolls off the tongue.
It does. It's just Prombron.
Prombron. Now, this is the Prombron. This is a massive SUV. They're calling it the White Horse SUV. Not SUV for what it normally stands for. This is a safety utility vehicle. Oh, that's what they call it for marketing purposes. Absolute lunacy. This thing is enormous. It makes the Hummer look like a mini. It is completely ridiculous. I've put one on the Facebook page. I've uploaded that to the Fenderbender Facebook page. So please go to facebook.com/FenderbenderJoy and you can see this absolutely ridiculous thing.
It looks like a cross between... So it's there's definitely a bit of Humvee in it. But also, it's like a Humvee in drag, isn't it?
A little bit.
Well, it's dressed up. Kind of a bit pearlescent.
Maybe a rapper's car?
Well, if you people with long memories might remember the Lamborghini LM.
Yeah.
The 70s/80s SUV, which was quite successful for the Italian military. If, you know, for us, for you older people and you Lambo fans, it looks a bit like that, except made from Lego.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I've got a feeling, though, Byron, you might be quite interested in buying one of these. And
I already have.
You have. Yes. So you've already shelled out the $8.5 million for one.
No.
It's ridiculous.
How are they justified? So first of all, how are they? What do they say it does? That's what I want to know.
Well,
why
not a
would
lot.
You buy one?
Not a lot. It doesn't say a lot about it, but they have only limited it to 12 units. Now, one thing that did happen with one of their earlier models, so it's the same model, but this is just a different kind of variation on it. In 2009, the company had plans to offer whale penis leather upholstery.
Wow.
Oh, God, what a bunch of cocks. it's terrible.
Isn't that incredible? But look, they axed that idea after a campaign initiated by Pamela Anderson. And Greenpeace.
She would have experience campaigning against such things, wouldn't she?
I would think so. I would think so. So, absolutely ridiculous. It is our ridiculous car of the week.
Where are you going to take it to get
service?
Was she married
with someone of a size?
That's a good point.
How many Prombron dealers do you know about the place?
I once watched a home movie with Pamela Anderson.
Oh.
Speaking of whale penises.
With Tommy Lee?
On a boat somewhere. I can't remember.
I've never seen
vast amounts of skin covering bulbous things.
God. Yes. Sickness, both of you.
What else is going on in the world there, Tim?
Look, there's not much else happening, really, I'll be honest with you, but I did do something very exciting last week. I went to the Geneva Motor Show.
Okay.
Not going to lie to you.
Ooh,
it's overseas.
Speaking of roving reporter.
I know, right? Yeah. No, I did. I was very lucky enough to go to the Geneva Motor Show, which is one of the bigger motor shows of the year. It's, I guess, the first European one of the year. It's all very exciting. They all like to have very stylish cars and that kind of thing. So that was a hoot.
I hope you packed accordingly, Tim. I hope you took it. You're going to another winter. Did you pack all the right stuff?
I did, Dan.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Yeah.
Unfortunately, my luggage did not make it.
Okay.
You're just bringing up awful memories.
And when did you get your luggage back?
The night before I was leaving.
Okay, moving on. Okay, the tragedy. Yeah.
Very frustrating. I will be taking carry on next time.
Sticky team. Yeah, I only ever take carry on.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's why. Especially for Geneva, it's a compact show. I mean, it's very well attended.
Yep.
And a lot of the car companies like to show their concept car wares.
Yeah.
But it's all compact, and that should be the theme for people who attend the Geneva Motor Show next time.
I think so. I will be. I've learnt my lesson. Let's just say that
our little boy's growing up.
I know, but I did get a new wardrobe from H&M, so that was it's also kind of good as well. Now, look, there were some great things happening there. There were some average things happening there. Mm-hmm. There were some, you know, a few letdowns, but we'll go through that. But first, we've actually had a text from Anthony, who's asking, do you guys know if the Mazda 2 will be out in Australia this year, and will they do a performance version?
And boy, he really emphasised the performance. He put it in uppercase.
Correct.
He's keen to know. So what's the answer to that, people?
Well, the Mazda 2 was seen in concept form at the Geneva Motor Show in the form of the, I think it's Hazumi concept,
mm-hmm. yep.
which I don't think it'll look much different. It looks like a shrunken Mazda 6/3.
It's got Kodo written all over it.
It looks great.
It's basically the production car with a few Motor Show tidbits like fancy door handles and smaller mirrors and larger wheels. And a bit of glitter, not Mariah style glitter, but just, sorry, someone's heart's pumping.
Oh dear,
palpating.
You're right. But will we see it this year?
No, we will see it in the first quarter of next year, apparently. Okay.
And at this stage, I don't think they've announced any performance versions, and I don't know whether I'd be expecting one either because we never got.
They haven't had one.
We didn't get a performance version of the two. No. However, let's not say that's not a possibility, which is a very long way around of saying. Expect one.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, with some really great offerings like Holden's Barina RS and the Ford Fiesta ST, which are selling very well.
Polo GTR?
Precisely, yes.
And the Renault Clio.
All right, God. We're on an exhaustive list.
Skoda Fabia.
I just want to pick a few examples, all right? So they might look at the market and go, well, they're selling very well, so maybe we'll be, oh, for God's sake, you're insufferable.
Goodness me.
No performance version announced yet, but watch this space.
The other thing is that Mazda is huge in Australia. It's unusually huge in Australia.
That's right.
And they would probably listen to the market demands.
Exactly. If you want to see a Mazda 2 performance variant, like an MP2 or MPS2 or whatever, write a letter to Mazda Australia, care of wherever they are,
somewhere in the suburbs
of Melbourne, and Anthony, maybe you should do that. Now the production version is rumoured to surface at the Paris Motor Show in October. Speaking of motor shows, and it will look a lot like the car that was at the Geneva show. So Anthony, if you could hang on till then, I think you will be surprised at just how different the car is to the current one underneath. So even though it may look similar with a Mazda 3 nose, and it looks good, by the way, I've got to say that. Did you think the car looked good in real life?
I thought it looked terrific, actually. I thought it looks great. It's a shrunken... It's got the shape of the current one with the look of a Mazda 3.
The details have been updated, haven't they?
Yeah. So I think it looks great. It didn't blow my socks off. It wasn't one of the things at Geneva that blew my socks off.
SP16 might.
Well, exactly.
By the way, he thinks.
I know, he's zany. But look, there were some hits and misses there. I must say, I was, you know, as you would know, it's quite a busy day. You don't really actually have a lot of time to kind of stop and smell the roses when you're working at a motor show, unfortunately. So I didn't actually see a lot of the major concepts in the flesh.
Well, it's impossible because the first day of the press day of the motor show for you people who haven't been to a motor show at a press day is just like literally thousands of people jostling in front of you trying to just take photos, really.
A bunch of pushy journalists and photographers.
And get some of the free kind of tat they give away.
Yeah, so, there's a bit of that, isn't there? Well, look, there are a few sexy things that I saw. Volvo's concept, which is a station wagon concept that looks absolutely stunning. And all of their concepts in the last year have just been sex, as far as I'm
concerned. Well, a while ago they said, the chief designer, whose name escapes me, Byron will probably remember.
Thomas something? Ingalls?
Ingelrath.
Everyone just made up words just then.
He said the end of vanilla design is here, and he's looking at
the chocolate design, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Neapolitan.
And looking at the designs that come out of that design studio, he's absolutely right.
That's right. Yep. Really sexy. That car is meant to hark back to the P1800 ES.
Possibly. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some classic Volvos.
Yeah.
The '60s and '70s.
That'll be great to see what becomes of that in production, guys. Now, the other thing that was really interesting there that is a bit of a controversial little design is that Jeep Renegade, which is the baby Jeep that's been in development for quite a while. I think it's built in Italy. It's a Fiat Chrysler, you know, production. Very strange little thing. I think it'll sell its socks off because it's very... What's under Gen Y?
Gen Y. Gen I, isn't it? Or is it? It's not Gen Z. Is it Gen I?
I know.
Why wouldn't you call it Gen Z?
Gens.
Well, X, I think
it's the Gen I generation. Okay. Let's
call it that.
Oh, because everything's called an I something now. Is that why?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be
God. Nauseating.
But look, this little thing looks weird. I wasn't sure at first, but I'm actually warming to it. This is it's a very boxy little thing. What do you guys think of it?
It's like a Fiat Panda four-wheel drive thing with Jeep styling. And it looks about as masculine as Emmanuel Lewis Webster.
That was obscure.
He was obscure. Yeah, I was just trying to think of someone who... He's probably really masculine. He's going to come and bash me. So,
yeah.
I know. He looks very... Sydney Brady.
I'm not yet doing a Tim and warming to it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I don't like the styling, but one thing about this car excites me.
Yep.
And that is Jeep have always said that they will make at least one variant in a model that is trail ready. This car will be no exception. Yep. So what we're potentially looking at is a tiny little really capable off-roader.
Like a Jimny.
Yeah.
Yes.
But possibly safer.
That excites me.
Is it coming to Australia? Do you know?
This thing?
The Renegade.
Yes, but not until 2015.
They would be idiots if they didn't bring that here.
Because
With a Jeep badge on it sells wonderfully here.
The Australian mob have essentially said they'll bring that and the Fiat version of it, but they will market them differently. The Jeep will be marketed as a more hardcore option, whereas the Fiat will be marketed as more of an urban city thing.
Okay.
So if you're into your little SUVs, which we'll be talking about very shortly, actually, that is definitely one to look out for.
And it puts the gain Renegade.
Do you think bears will go from driving Wranglers to driving a Renegade?
Maybe
or
cubs.
Twinks.
I think cubs.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's a cub car.
It is.
They should have the cub cup.
Oh my God, that is awesome. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That is perfect.
I think if you put a lift out panel in the roof, it would basically walk out.
Yeah. The door, the gay door. Now, there are a few other exciting things. Skoda's Vision C thing was terrific. Hyundai and Trato had a look at what their SUVs are going to look like. The thing that impressed me the most, which is not a production... it's not a concept. It was a production car. And it was the one that I kept walking past the most, but I just absolutely bloody love it, is the Citroën C4 Cactus.
It's Cactus?
Yeah.
Yes, the cactus.
They can't surely
call... It's not
call,
cactus.
They can't call a car cactus in Australia.
Well, we had this argument on the show a little while ago, and I don't think it matters that much. I think a lot of people don't realise the meaning of that word in this country. So I think that they should stick with it. And it looks the bee's knees. And I know Mike Costello would agree with me. He saw it too, and he just thought it was terrific. You can push in those lair bumps. Just really different and something a bit unusual. And thank God for that.
Yeah, it clicks into Citroën's heritage as well. Mm. You know, even though people often, when I think of classic Citroëns, they think of the old DS and how beautiful and space age that was. Citroën also used to make cars like the 2CV and the DR1 and the AME6 and all these utilitarian, inexpensive cars that you can basically drive across a French field and, you know, would just get you there without shattering your spine. They're basically cars for families, and this is what I think Citroën need to do to get back to their roots.
Yeah.
So I look forward to it, and I'm glad you like the way it looked, because
love
I was wondering
it.
Whether its looks would translate in real life, and it did.
Just striking. Yeah, very impressed. Some other low lights for me.
A low light.
A low light.
Yeah, because that wasn't a low. That was a highlight.
No, that was a highlight.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah.
Yes.
So A low. Sorry, correct. Look, Audi TT looks great.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but come on. You've just said exactly the most important thing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The last one looked great.
Yeah, but I think the second generation was a beautiful evolution of the first one. And I think the second generation one looked terrific. This just doesn't look much different from the second generation at all. They keep saying, we've harked back to the first generation. Where?
Well, apparently in the taillights on that round fuel filler thing that is meant to remind people of the first one.
Come on.
The fact that it's got twin exhaust from the rear diffuser.
People aren't going to notice that kind of thing.
Yeah, because everything's got twin exhaust.
Fashion is a fickle thing. People are going to say, this car is so 2006, I'm bored.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. The end.
What is all that sleep I've lost over this?
Yeah.
You know, oh God, I'm so tired.
Nothing. True. Now we have to go to a break, but we will be back very shortly. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson. I'm here with Dan and Byron.
Hello.
Hi, boys. All right. Now, we've had a response, I believe, from the lovely Anthony. We were talking about his Mazda 2 love before. And he has said, thank you. Don't know if he can wait that long for a Mazda 2 hot hatch, considering my VW Golf has been so unreliable.
Ooh.
He wants to offload it.
Yeah. Well, he should consider maybe a Renault Clio or a Ford Fiesta EcoBoost or something
ST?
Like that. Or an ST, yeah.
Get an ST.
Oh, yeah, he wants performance. What am I talking about? Get a Renault Sport or an ST. Either or is ridiculous.
Suzuki Swiss Sport.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, maybe. Sorry, mate. I mean, they're okay, but I mean, it's a Fiesta ST. You know, actually, the ST and the Clio Sport, they're quite different peas in a similar in the same pod. You know, it depends whether you want to drive stick there, Anthony, or you want just to be zoomed in the performance glory of the Renault Sport masterpiece.
Who doesn't like driving stick? That's what I'll say right here and right now.
Oh dear.
How about driving to the sticks?
Well, exactly. And how do you do that?
Oh, maybe you can buy a four-wheel drive or an SUV or a crossover.
Beautifully done, gentlemen.
Oh, Byron, I love you. That was amazing. Yes. That's correct. Now, there are a lot of options out there at the moment, boys.
Really?
It's been the market, you would almost say it's been flooded by tiny SUVs.
Are they as tiny as a Renegade?
A Renegade?
I know. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe not that tiny, but okay. There's been a few new ones out on the market. Excuse me. I drove the new generation Kia Soul a little while ago. That's an all right little thing. It's a bit bigger than some of these smaller ones like your Duke and that kind of thing.
More crossover than SUV, really.
Right, yes. Exactly. Mm. It's kind of a weird... They're trying to market it a little bit more as an SUV this time around, but I don't know how successful that's going to be.
What did you think of the Kia Soul there, Mr. Nixon?
The Kia Soul was... Look, it was actually a really good
thing. This is fun,
thing.
I want to say it.
Still
as well.
Do it.
No, I'm going to slip it in later.
Oh, yeah. Right. Although Kia does, they had their own SUV, the Sportage.
Yes. So this is a little bit smaller than that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's just really interesting. It's a great little looking, the second generation thing is a terrific little design. It's got heaps of storage. It's a really sensible little car, and a lot of older people seem to like it.
It's quite boxy, isn't it?
Really boxy. Mm. And I don't mind boxy every now and then. But no, look, I thought it was a terrific little thing, and it's a good option to look at if you're looking at those kind of things. Now, other ones,
so you're talking the compact SUV, those sub $25,000 baby SUVs, usually based on light cars.
Yes. Correct. Yes. Now, you've driven something quite recently, I think.
I drove a car that hasn't had a strong start in Australia, but I think it deserves a bit of a look in. It's the Suzuki S-Cross.
Yeah. So this is
it's.
It's like they had an old one, the SX4. This is the replacement.
Yeah,
for
and in fact, there's an SX4, a little SX4 badge on the rump of the S-Cross, just to to signify A, that Suzuki's been at it for many, many years, and B, it is the replacement for a car which I thought was vastly underrated. Anyway, this new S-Cross is much roomier than most of these baby SUVs. It almost falls into the kind of Duala size. And secondly, it is outstandingly economical.
Really?
I achieved absolutely gobsmacking fuel consumption figures from a petrol. You know, it's got a 1.6 CVT combo, which isn't very exciting, but Jesus, these cars really sip the juice. And if that's what's important to you, plus Suzuki reliability, plus, it's got a pretty smart interior, then I would consider it.
What sort of fuel consumption figures did you get back?
We're talking like diesel-esque fuel consumption figures, like 6.5 litres per 100 kilometres.
Wow, that is good.
Driven around the city and maybe out to Geelong or somewhere. We're talking urban / suburban driving, where other cars might be using 8 or 9. Like I had a Holden Trax recently, and that thing was a bit thirsty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have a problem with the S-Cross. And that is, I drove one just the other day. Mm-hmm. And I jumped in it and I went to pull away and clearly it was broken because it just didn't. And then I looked under the bonnet and realised the reason that it doesn't use any petrol is because it doesn't have an engine, Byron.
Oh, come on, man. It's a 1.6. I do admit that you do have to be...
1.6, that is no excuse. There's Formula One cars tearing around Albert Park, where is what the name of the place, and they produce 567 kilowatts, okay. Right? And this thing produces none.
Okay.
No kilowatts at all. I think it actually saps kilowatts out of the environment.
Okay, I'm going to stick up for this car because... Yep. I happen to have driven every single compact SUV on the market and some that aren't here yet, such as the Renault Captur.
Oh, yes. Someone's pulling rank.
Yeah, someone's pulling rank. I'm pulling rank. And let me tell you that with the exception of one, all the small automatic compact SUVs are gutless.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them. Every single one. The Ford EcoSport 1.5 is rubbishly slow. The 1.8 Trax isn't so slow, but it's coarse and thirsty. Yeah. So there's something wrong with them. The only one that actually performs and is fun to drive is the Nissan Juke with the turbo.
Yeah.
That thing's over 30
I like
grand.
That. Yeah.
The Peugeot 2008 Auto is a 4-speed crap box, and that it's much better as a 3-cylinder or as a manual. So in that context, it actually is the most sparkling of the current crop. Okay. At that price point.
I would have to be the first to admit that these cars are not being marketed at people who like travelling around at irresponsible speeds.
Yeah.
And I am certainly not their target customer. But what I will say is that you've just said that this car has a really capacious interior.
Mm.
And what that does is makes people want to fill it up with stuff, whether that be people and things. And as soon as you fill up with anything that has any kind of positive mass, it will actually not pull away.
You're absolutely right. However... In the end, these cars are bought by people as empty nesters or young people who generally travel one or two up mostly.
Yeah, or some balls of wool.
And for me and Jim and Romy and, a couple of, bits
random.
Of shopping, random,
A tiny dog. One of those silly tiny dogs that old people like.
A Labrador retriever, thank you. Romy, hello, Romy.
Yeah.
The car was fine. And everyone was impressed by the smoothness and quietness of that drivetrain as well.
I got into the S-Cross after driving a Mazda 3, the top-spec Mazda 3, and I was thinking, oh, God, this is going to be a disaster. First of all, I was in Laverton, so it was a disaster.
Laverton, yes.
Yeah, and then I drove off, and I was actually really, really impressed. And then I remembered you reviewing this car and saying how good it was, and I'm with you. I think it's terrific. I think it looks really weird at the front. I think the lights are too big. It's googly. I don't know what's happening there. But anyway, I think it's impressive. But there's so many options out there. I think the Nissan Juke is actually really fun. But as you say, the most fun one is 30 grand.
Yeah. The Ford EcoSport EcoBoost manual, 1 litre triple, is pretty good.
Okay.
With the turbo.
The Trax, I think, looks the best out of all of them.
I think it's got
the best
great
design.
Interior too, great dash. But yeah.
So you're spoilt for choice in that arena. So, I mean, and then the Renault Captur's coming in a few months, four months.
And let me just mention the Peugeot 2008 again, because that I think that car as a diesel manual, is actually awesome fun.
Yeah, I think
it handles the best too.
Yes.
There we go. Byron, the queen of baby SUVs, has spoken.
Yes, it's true.
Who else has spoken?
Somebody has spoken. Sci-Fi and Squeam represent Sebastian, who possibly might be on the show. Lamborghini.
Oh, hey, I like this.
Lamborghini Sesto Elemento forever. Thank you, Sebastian. On that note... We have to shut it down.
Is it that time already?
I know. We could rattle on about our disdain for Formula One all day.
Well, let's do it off air. We'll just...
that's true. Yes. Exactly. Boys, thank you so much for being here. Dan,
always
Gardner,
a pleasure.
Byron,
thank you for having
Matthew
me.
Darkus.
Oh, thank you. And don't forget to go to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival and forget about the F1. That's what I say. And also, happy birthday to my best mate, Dean.
Oh, happy birthday, Dean. Look, that's us for another week. We will be back next week, but we do have a small announcement. We are only back for another 2 weeks, then we're off air for 3 months.
Oh, no.
Yes, Fender Bender is resting, but don't worry, we will be back with a vengeance. We just thought we were getting so haggard and old and tired, we needed a bit of a break.
Not that you know looking at us now.
No, it's true. I'm just going to get some work a la Bridget Jones, whatever her name is. Absolutely.
Or Kim Novak at the Oscars.
Oh, dear. Controversial. My name's Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender for another week. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.